Good Thursday morning. Today is February the 28th. It is 7:04 in the morning, and it's the last day of the month. We have had 59 days so far in 2019. Another month is coming to a close. It's Tuesday, and we are continuing our Bible plan on not looking back, and we're also here to seek God's face and to know His heart. Amen. I'm glad that you're here this morning. We're a little bit earlier. We typically are on about 8, between 8 and 8:30, and I have an appointment at 8, so wanted to make sure that we get in here and we start our morning right. We be obedient, and we have time with our Father. So, amen. Well, yesterday, if you hadn't been tuning in for the last couple of days, yesterday we talked about looking back, and we talked about Lot's wife and how, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, there was so much sin, and there was so much debauchery going on, and Lot and his wife were escorted by the angels. If you go back and look at that in Genesis, it says that they hesitated. We talked about this yesterday. They hesitated, but the angels of the Lord grabbed their hands, grabbed his hand and Lot's hands, and grabbed Lot's wife's hand and pulled them out. And then we see that Lot is supposed to go to the mountain, and then he instead goes to this little village, and it ends with the story in the verse that we talked about yesterday, ended with Lot's wife turning back and turning into a pillar of salt. And we talked about how the enemy wants us to live in our past. He wants us to be bound by that. And the other scripture we learned yesterday, or we referenced yesterday, was that Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking about the things of the past, you're thinking about the things that you did when you were in the flesh and before you were saved, and or maybe you were a Christian and you've done some things, and when you backslid, you slid away, you walked away from God. And maybe you did those things, and maybe you're on the verge of coming back to Him and being radically obedient and being just madly in love with Him, passionately pursuing Him, and because you were a Christian when you did those things, you don't feel worthy, or you feel unloved, or you feel distant. So whatever that looks like, whether you're unsaved, or whether maybe you've been backslidden, either way, I have the solution for you. The solution is simple. It's repentance. It's repent. Repent. That's it. One word. Repent. And repentance means that you turn. You make a 180-degree turn. And so you were going one direction, and you go the complete opposite direction. Repent. It's that simple. And you know what? When you repent, you don't look back. When you do 180, when you do a U-turn, you don't look back, unless you're in a no U-turn zone and you're looking for, you know, police officers. But you don't look back. You go the complete opposite direction. Amen. Amen. So don't look back. Repent wherever you're at, whatever you're going through. God still loves you. God knows, and God still has a purpose for you. And in the very first day, we talked about how the enemy wants to hold us hostage in our past, and that the keys of freedom have already been released to us, and the ransom's already been paid. So get up and be free. So let's hop in this morning. Looking back, the title of this, Looking Back Feeds the Desires of the Flesh, Providing a False Sense of Security. When we look back and constantly dwell in the past, it seems to offer us a sense of safety, even if the situation we were in was a dangerous one physically, emotionally, or mentally. This is because as humans, change and newness always brings with a sense of challenge, stretching, and the unknown. But in the past, we find comfort because we know all that we were dealing with. It was familiar, even though it was difficult. Sounds strange. But I've seen time and time again in ministry where people will go back to abusive homes, manipulative relationships, and immoral lifestyles just because it's familiar and provides this false sense of security. Wow. And just to speak a little bit from my past. So my wife, we met in a bar, and neither one of us were where God needed us to be, but He got us there. And so we were at my wife was the worship leader at a home church, and home church happened on Tuesday nights. And I looked at her and I said, "There's no way that I'm giving up my Tuesday night to go to church. I already know that's my time." And obviously, I went. And I think a couple of Tuesdays passed, but I did end up going, and I fell in love. And I felt I really did. I fell in love with God and with everything that the Bible had for me. And I look back, and it was the change. It was the change that we fear. And I was talking to somebody else the other day, and we were talking about. There was a symptom that this person was dealing with, and she said, I believe that God can heal me. I believe what the scripture says, but I've lived with it for so long that I don't know what life would be like without it. It's the change, it's the newness that keeps us. And really, when we look at it, if we boil down and we see the change and we see this, we see anxiety. But if we boil all the way down, if we go to the root, that's fear. It's fear. It's fear that is keeping us from the change. It's fear that says, "Well, gosh, if I'm a Christian now, I have to stop drinking and stop smoking and stop having premarital sex and stop lying and stealing and cheating. I have to stop all that. I don't want to do that." And whether that's fear or that's just straight disobedience, I mean, you would have to know that. But the reality is people don't want to change because they fear the change. They fear the change. "Well, I know what it's like. I know I've made it this long. I might as well keep doing it." But the reality is there's so much better out there for you. There's so much better. And again, the enemy keeps you in fear. What is the opposite of fear? What is the opposite of fear? It's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what Hebrews says, Hebrews 11. So we have fear, and you need to equate fear with the enemy, unhealthy fear. Now, and this is I'm flowing freely, but I want to make sure that I'm very clear and very pinpoint. Fear, there is a fear of the Lord. There's a respect, there's a reverence, there's an honor. But the fear that says that, "Oh, I don't know if God can take care of me," or, "Oh, I don't know if fear that keeps us from going into God's will." Okay, so we understand that there's two different types of fear. I'm addressing the fear that the enemy releases into us, that the majority of the people on this earth are walking in fear. They're walking in fear, which is the opposite of faith, which is you can't please God. So if he can keep you in that fear and he can keep you bound up in that, then you aren't pleasing God and you aren't moving forward. You aren't making progress for the kingdom. You aren't doing anything different than staying the same. You're staying in that rut. I grew up in an abusive home, and it seemed easier to deal with abuse than to open up to someone in authority for help. Again, it was the unknown of the future that kept me bound to that situation. Today, I'm writing you about moving from the past and looking forward to the future, because the life that God has for his children is always better than what we will leave behind. The children of Israel did not differ from us today, even though they were slaves in Egypt and cried out to God for freedom and help. They never seemed to let go of the past and the bondage that felt familiar to them. Their lives were plagued with beatings and hard labor from their taskmasters. The Hebrew men were battled or belittled and disrespected in front of their wives and children, and they cried out to God. We are told in scriptures that God heard their cries and remembered his covenant with their forefathers and sent a deliverer, Moses, to bring them out of Egypt. I find comfort and encouragement from the story of Exodus. While it may have ended tragically for many, it serves as wisdom to those who study their lives to learn from their mistakes. Often we cry out to God to save us from our situation, but truthfully, we want the saving on our terms and not his, which breeds disappointments, and that causes us to look back. If we only could come to a place in our lives where we believe God's plan is better than ours, The Israelites wanted to come out of bondage, but they did not trust God. And they longed to go back to Egypt for the false sense of security it provided to them. They did not see the wilderness as temporary or that God was with them in the coming out. All they could think about was the bondage, or what was what they had when they were in bondage. And I want to talk a little bit about the Israelites, because I've been studying. I'm doing a 1 year Bible plan. So I started at the beginning and really have been diving into the Exodus and just what God is doing in through the Israelites. So the Israelites were, as we just learned, they were trapped under the slavery of the Egyptian king. And then Moses comes and goes into the wilderness and then comes out. And then he and Aaron go to the Pharaoh. And then that's when we see all the plagues and the different things happen. And then fast forward, God delivers them. He parts the Red Sea. That was really one of the first major miracles besides the plagues, obviously. But so they walk through the Red Sea, and then they get on the other side, and then they have an immediate battle with the Amalekites. And that was where Moses, as long as he had his hand raised, the victory was there. So they sat him down, and Joshua and Aaron were on each side holding his hands, and they had victory. And then fast forward, so now they're into the wilderness, and there's no water and there's no food. And so then they start complaining to Moses, and they say, "Moses, we were better off in our slavery. We were better off in our bondage. Why did you bring us out? Why did God bring us out into the desert to die?" And you know what our loving Father did? Our loving Father brought forth water from a rock. He made a way where there was no way. Do you know that he brought manna and quail from heaven every single day? Even after his people, even after the Israelites complained and walked in just bad-mouthing God, just complaining about God. And I look at it and I think, how loving is our Father? None of us can wrap our heads around the goodness of God. Because I think about my kids, and when they're complaining, what do you do? Stop it. Stop complaining. This is what you're eating for dinner. Stop complaining. But God met them with love and grace. Now, I will tell you that it was a very, very short distance to the promised land. Once they were delivered across the Red Sea, it was very, very short distance, but it took them 40 years to get there. So, and I'm not 100% sure of the distance, which is why I'm not saying it, but it was very, very short. It was something like 2 months travel, if even that far, maybe 12 days. I'm not sure, but it ended up taking them 40 years. 40 years. And so the thing that we need to focus on is that, yes, it was, they were comfortable. They knew what to expect. That was the issue. They knew what to expect. They already had expectations. Well, I'm going to wake up today. They're going to feed me some grub. I'm going to get the water from the Nile. I'm going to get a couple of lashings today. I'm going to have some cornbread for lunch. I'm going to lift these stones. I'm going to do this over here. I'm going to get another lashing. I'm going to go wash up for dinner. I'm going to be fed. I'm going to get beat one more time before I go to bed. I'm going to wake up and do it all over again. I can only imagine that was the life. They lived in slavery. They lived in bondage. But you know what? There is comfort in that. There is comfort in knowing, hey, this is what's going to happen. It's no different. It happened to me yesterday. It's going to happen to me tomorrow. And that's where we get stuck in a routine. It's a rut. It's doing the same thing over and over again because you don't want to change. You're fearing what could happen. And most of the time when we're fearing what could happen, we're fearing the worst, not fearing the best. We fear the worst, not fear the best. Why? Why is that? Why do we want to go to the worst? Why do we want to go to the worst? Why can't we go to the best situation? Why can't we go to the best result that could come from it? Why do we always go to the negative? I mean, I'm genuinely asking. I tend to go, oh, well, it's not going to work. Is it because I'm a pessimistic? No. What, why? And then you could say, well, optimistic, I expect the best and prepare for the worst. I mean, you could say that, but the reality is the fear is what keeps us positioned and locked in and not making a step forward. So we come against that today. We come against that fear in the name of Jesus. Exodus 14:1, then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses, order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there among the shore, along the shore, across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I had planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. You have to understand that I have planned this. He has planned whatever you're going through in order to display his glory. He will use whatever you're going through to display his glory. Whether you got yourself there, whether you're through a season, maybe you're going through a wilderness, maybe you're coming out of a wilderness. He will use it for his glory. Exodus 14:10, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Doubt. Philippians 3:13 through 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So did you get the overall picture for today? Did you get the overall theme that what God is releasing? Don't get caught up in the fear of the unknown. Don't get caught up with the fear of not being able to have expectations. You've got to release that. You have to release that today. Some of you are holding on. Your knuckles are so white. You've been holding on. And your grip is about to be released. Let the blood flow to that hand again. Release it. It's not your life to control. The reality is we think we have control, and we do. We, in a certain sense, we have our free will, but it's not. We die to I. We lay down our life to live as Jesus lived. That's how we're supposed to live. We think we have control. We don't have control. We're not supposed to have control. We're not supposed to have control. We are supposed to live like Jesus lived. We're supposed to serve like Jesus served. We're supposed to love like Jesus loved. It's all about Jesus. And if we're not doing that, and we're stuck in fear because of we don't know what to expect, then I just say take the leap. Jump. Jump. I did. And look what I'm doing. And I'm not anything special. But who knows the battle that's for you? You may be even, you may have whatever. You may have the ministry that goes around the world. You may dominate YouTube. You may be standing on a corner preaching. I don't know. You may be loving orphans. You may create, or you may plant orphanages around the world. I don't know. But God has a purpose and a plan for you. And until you stop living in the fear, and you start walking in faith and knowing the same God that provided for the Israelites through the desert, the daily bread, the same God that delivered them from bondage and slavery, that same God, that's the same God that loves you and that's watching out for you and that sent his only son to die for you. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word that was released today. Lord, right now, we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. We thank you for the faith that was released today. And right now, we come against that spirit of fear that is bound in the lives of so many of your children. Lord, I come against it by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, fear has no place to reside in your heavenly temple, your temples that resides inside of us, Christians especially. Father, right now we speak to that fear and we command it to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as that fear is being released from us, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit, the warming sensation of the Holy Spirit would come and fill that void, that space that fear just left. And Father, right now, I release your faith. I release the healing balm of faith into that spot where fear just left. You have to receive it. You have to receive what was just, release that fear. Get it out of you and plant faith. Lord, I just plant a mustard seed right now. I release a mustard seed faith in each of those that are listening today. As that mustard seed is planted, Father God, I pray the blood of Jesus over that seed. I pray the blood of Jesus over that soil and that heart. Lord, that the fowls of the earth cannot come and get that seed, that the vines, the cares of this world cannot choke it out. And Father, that the ground that it was planted in was soft and fertile, not hardened. And Lord, I call forth in time, I call forth a mighty fruit from that mustard seed. Oh, Father, I thank you for what was just released. I thank you for the divine appointments. I thank you for you loving us, even in our mess. You love us, even as the Israelites complained and doubted you, Father. You still loved them and you still provided for them. And Father, I thank you for your provision. I thank you for releasing your blessings over us today. I thank you for letting us walk in obedience. And as we walk in obedience, we take up the authority, we take up the power, and we walk in the blessings the same way that David did. Father, I pray that we'd have a boldness of David today, the boldness of David as a teenager going up against the Goliath. Lord, I pray that as the people that are listening, whether it's today or in the future, that are battling right now with the Goliath, Lord, that they'd have the faith of David to say, who dares defile my God? Who dares defile? Who dares to stand against my God? Lord, and I release that faith. That same faith, I release that right next to the mustard seed of faith that we just planted. And Lord, may they be bold enough to pick up their slingshot and to pick up their rock and hit their Goliath right between the eyes. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Thank you that your mercies are new every single morning. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Help us repent. Help us repent and not look back. Trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Lord, we take up the full armor of God as we prepare for today. Use us. Use us up, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. We will see you tomorrow. Question, would you guys like for us to do a marriage devotion tomorrow? Christiana asked me last night. She said, hey, are we going to do a marriage devotion? I said, well, I hadn't had anybody ask. I've had one person ask for us to do a specific topic, but would you like us to do a marriage devotion? If you want us to do a marriage devotion, leave us a comment, send us a message. We'll pray about it. We might hear something today, but if somebody has something that says, oh, Cody, we need this. My marriage needs this. Drop a comment, send me a message, and we'll see what the Lord does. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.